Welcome to episode number 219, Emotional Exhaustion. I am your host, Damon Soka. Have you ever felt spent emotionally and physically, like you just couldn't handle one more thing? Have you ever felt emotionally numb? Have you felt lost and without hope, just living each day? No joy, no real misery, except perhaps the absence of joy. Have you ever felt just stuck? I am most certain you probably have. Each of us has likely experienced emotional exhaustion in our lives. For many individuals, emotional exhaustion is a passing part of life when someone dies or they have driven their bodies and minds to the point it can go no further. For others, that feeling of exhaustion lasts much longer and has a much deeper effect upon the mind. And still, for others, that feeling never seems to end. Given the state of our current societies across the world, emotional exhaustion is probably one of the most common forms of mental and emotional illness. In any given day, you are likely to encounter several individuals who are just going through the motions of life, waiting for the joy to return. It is so common that an entire industry has risen up around keeping our mentality sharp and focused. We see dieting trends, vitamins, minerals, and everything one could imagine to circumvent this important part of our mental health. The truth is, we all have a pause switch in our brains that tells us when we are at our limits of emotional and physical capacity. And when we reach that point in time and momentum, our brain switches on the pause cycle. We generally have no control over that turning point or even the consequences that follow. Now, I am most certain every one of you has probably heard of Elder Holland's talk on mental health called Like a Broken Vessel. In it, he speaks of mental illness in more general terms, and in more specific terms, he speaks of depression brought about by emotional exhaustion. His words on the subject are the following, quote, "No, this dark night of the mind and spirit is more than mere discouragement. I have seen it come to an absolutely angelic man when his beloved spouse of 50 years passed away. I have seen it in new mothers with what is euphemistically labeled after baby blues. I have seen it strike anxious students, military veterans, and grandmothers worried about the well-being of their grown children. And I have seen it in young fathers trying to provide for their families. In that regard, I once terrifyingly saw it in myself. At one point in our married life, when financial fears collided with staggering fatigue, I took a psychic blow that was as unanticipated as it was real. With the grace of God and the love of my family, I kept functioning and kept working. But even after all these years, I continue to feel a deep sympathy for other more chronically or more deeply afflicted with such gloom than I was. In any case, we have all taken courage from those who, in the words of the prophet Joseph, searched and contemplated the darkest abyss and persevered through it, not in the least of whom were Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, and George Albert Smith, the latter being one of the most gentle and Christ-like men of our dispensation, who battled reoccurring depression for some years before later becoming the universally beloved eighth prophet and president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints." End quote. Now, while depression comes for many reasons to one's life, emotional exhaustion is one of the most prominent, especially in our current society. Pressures have never been more elevated to work harder, longer, and with greater intensity than someone else. The pressure to get ahead, move forward, push beyond your limitations, is a constant, persistent ideology. This is no truer than within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We hear the call regularly to magnify one's calling, to lengthen our stride, to be of greater value to the Lord. While these teachings are absolutely necessary and true to motivate the saints of the Lord at times, for many, the lengthening of strides and the magnifying of callings can and does lead to a time and place when the emotional load we carry collides with our emotional capacity, and the result is a darkness and an emotional avalanche that is beyond description. We fall into the crevasse that is incomprehensibly deep and wide. We do not have control over the moment of collapse. When we have driven our emotional body and our mind to a point of personal perfection, and that point is beyond a predetermined emotional weight, our emotional body and mind will collapse into that darkness that not only obscures the light of heaven, but is so thick and heavy it can be felt. We personally cannot determine this point of descent. It has already been predetermined by our genetics and our emotional capacity. We cannot avoid the consequences either. Like a train weighed down with cargo, moving speedily down the tracks, we cannot simply apply the brakes and hope we can stop as we reach our emotional capacity. When the emotional loads reach maximum weight and are moving swiftly down the tracks, it is not possible to stop when suddenly the tracks run out. People who experience burnout or emotional exhaustion speak of it as hitting a wall that they didn't see coming. The experience is often so bewildering to them that they can feel that the dark abyss covering their heart and mind, sending them into a tailspin episode of mental and emotional health challenges. While the earth-shattering experience will be individual and personal to everyone, the outcomes tend to fall into a couple of categories. The first is a more temporary mental health challenge where, with some time and some rest, the body will return to a more normal functioning ability, although maybe not to the same functioning ability as before. The amount of time and rest vary per person and per instance, but many individuals will recover most of their functioning ability. Now, it might take weeks or even up to a year or more, but they will recover. However, the recovery is often slow and arduous and full of false starts and reoccurring collapses. The second outcome is more chronic and leads to a lifetime of difficulties and struggle. Last year, about Christmas time, I reached that point of inflection in my own life. The pressures of work, church, and family all became too much for my weak body to handle, and I collapsed and found myself in the emergency room for a visit. Now, my emotional exhaustion came because of several inherent factors, such as my autoimmune diseases, my previous bouts of mental health issues, and some physical problems brought about by COVID. Now, I personally admit that I have still yet to recover my full functionality, and perhaps at this point may never do so. There are many among us who suffer in this way. They have lost their capacity to accomplish what they once did. It is not that their strength has diminished in the sense that their muscles have somehow suddenly weakened. This darkness affects the very core of who we are. Personally, we might look fine, but emotionally and mentally, we have weakened to the extent that our capacities have been altered significantly. When this occurs, anger, frustration, worthlessness, powerlessness enters one life with deafening speed. Depression is by far the most common experience of those who have passed through this portal of misery, but many other emotions and concerns arise, the greatest of which is that suicide and thoughts of suicide might and often do become a persistent nagging problem. When we suddenly cannot do that which we once did, a unique type of despondency occurs in our minds and hearts. We wonder if life is worth living and what value one has to their family, children, church, and community. Instead of contributing and being one who has served, we become the weak link in our family, church, and community chains, needing more help than we can actually give. One of the hardest lessons of life is to be served rather than to serve. And when that moment comes suddenly, it can devastate one's entire life. When one can barely withstand the emotional and physical demands of work and then have nothing left to give whom they love the most, they can feel utterly worthless. Often family, friends, employment do not understand the sudden changes. They expect what has previously been provided and enjoyed will continue to be. That expectation is a consistent reminder of one's failure to be involved. The same is true for one's employment and often church family. Most individuals cannot comprehend a sudden change in capacity. Even our own brains simply do not work in that manner. Our brains expect consistency. What we have seen and done in the past, we project into the future, and so expectations of family, friends, coworkers, and others are really part of human nature, and yet they heap pressures and fires upon those of us who have experienced this sudden change in capacity. The same idea of projecting into the past, projecting the past into our present, also causes deep remorse within the soul of the person who is afflicted. We become lost in a sea of I don't knows, I don't cares, and I can'ts. And each time we have to dismiss ourselves from an activity, we fall ever so much further into that realm of darkness. Now, I think that you probably can tell from my writing that I have suffered several years from this type of exhaustion and all of the ramifications that come with it. I don't think that I have faced anything quite this difficult in my life. To be limited in emotional capacity, which has severely limited my physical capacity, has been about as much torture as I can handle. I have certainly passed through too many, I don't want to live any more moments. And yet, I am still here trying to do my part. I get disappointing looks on a regular basis, and I am almost certain sometimes my wife questions what she married. However, she is an angel, who in many ways suffers along with me. And perhaps that is one of the hardest parts of this staggering emotional collapse. The weight and the load that I once carried now must fall upon my wife and family. They struggle to understand why I can't when I look fine. And the increased load and burden they carry causes all sorts of issues to arise. One of the main problems and sources of frustration from this type of mental and emotional collapse is within close relationships, where partners share the load of family, work, and church. When oxen who used to pull together no longer pull together, the path becomes far more difficult for the both of them. So what do we do when we find ourselves lost in the endless night of limited emotional and physical capacity? How can we refocus our lives, and how do we even find joy and peace again? Now, I am not sure that I have all the answers to those questions. Perhaps maybe I can share some of what I understand. The first and foremost rule is that you never give up. You place your thoughts of suicide and leaving this earth into a never-gonna-happen box. You do your best each day you are given, and I admit, understanding that your best may not look like much. You give what you can each day, without running beyond your capacity. And that will be difficult, because your brain still believes that you have the same capacity you once had. But your body and emotions will tell a completely different story. The brain will feel guilty, as it cannot complete tasks it once did, and the body and emotions will often be consistently overrun and taxed. You will feel guilty and exhausted all the time. Not sure that I have entirely erased that guilty feeling, but with some brain training, it does get better. The first thing we need to do is build that never-gonna-happen box in our head, and place all those thoughts of leaving this world in that box. Second, comparison is the thief of the present. Forgetting what you once did and understanding what you can now do is very important, and you will need to involve both earth and heaven, both earthly and heavenly powers, to accomplish it. You cannot compare yourself and your efforts to anyone, past, present, and that includes yourself. You must cut off the past and find a new life and identity, one that is, in many ways, entirely redefined. Redefining life when you have suffered such a collapse of capacity is no easy task, because the mind is not set up to do so. It wants that past to be present in the present. It wants to know what we can do and how much we can do. And it always reaches back into our memory to find it. We need to work hard to stop the reaching back. This means that you will need to be satisfied with what you are able to do today. The only way you won't be satisfied is if you compare what you did today to some other moment in time. Many who are driven to succeed have deeply rooted goals and objectives. This includes goals in every portion of their life. These goals have always been predicated that our past capacities will match our future ones, meaning life goals will need to be entirely rearranged and reestablished. Everything from a daily routine to weekly plans will need to be reworked, reviewed, and renewed. The first thing I am going to admit from my experience is that when you do this redefining, you are likely to get it wrong several times. Redefining who you are and your capacity to work and live takes time and a lot of effort. To be satisfied with small accomplishments when your grandiose ones were your driving force is not easy for the brain to accept. To go from working 12 hours a day to hoping that you have enough capacity to shower, eat, and work a couple hours is something the brain was not really built to do. And so a retraining of the brain is necessary, and this retraining is not going to be easy. Our brains are stubborn by nature, and that stubborn brain does not like to change habits, routines, and capacity. And so changing a stubborn brain is going to take more energy and effort than we expect. We must redefine our goals, short and long term. We must find joy in other life experiences. We must learn our new capacity and live with it. I admit that for much of my life, when I have experienced this exhaustion, I have tended to do what society says. I've tried to work through it, eat healthier, find the right combination of supplements and perhaps pharmaceuticals to help my body recover. I have done the spiritual work, reading more, attending the temple more, being more engaged in my callings and spiritual matters. I have done everything possible but accept my illness for what it is. For me, none of those things have provided a significant relief. Ultimately, I've had to redefine who I am and who I will be. I've had to step back and see something different for my life. I have found joy in more simple things and life experiences. I've had to push guilt to the side and say, I can only do what I can do. There is nothing easy about this fight with the demon of emotional exhaustion. I have had to reprioritize my efforts and where I spend my time and energy. I've had to rethink and replan everything about my life. And I admit that I am still working through that process. In order to accomplish the life refocusing and redefining, I've needed to ask what and why. What does the Lord want me to learn from this, and why has He allowed it to continue? My answers have come far more line upon line and a little here and there. Ultimately, my answer has been that the Lord knows what I can do when I have all of my capacity, and He does not need me to prove myself, although I would most certainly like to try. He needs to know what I will do when I am severely limited by my abilities. Will I continue to do the small things or give up entirely? Upon what will I focus? What will I leave behind and what will I keep? Like the pioneers who needed to lighten their load on the trip west, what am I willing to leave behind that might have been once very important, but due to the weight of it, now seems far more trivial? When the Lord has broken me down to my core elements, what will be left? The answers to those questions have been personally eye-opening to me. I've come to see myself and my life in a new light and with new understanding. I've seen my priorities change and my life renewed in different ways. I have come much closer to the Lord and His priorities for me as I have wandered in this wilderness of darkness. I think that when we come to the Lord and give ourselves to Him, He must break us down to our core elements and then rebuild us from that foundation. He cannot build upon sandy soil or core emotional elements that are faulty. So when we give ourselves to Him fully, we often find ourselves within our greatest trials. When we are truly willing to be tutored and molded in the image of God, we will pass through experiences and life events we could not have ever imagined. So often we think that when we give everything to Him and place it all on the altar, He will gather us in His arms and keep us safe from the trials and troubles of this world. We will be sheltered from the wind and the rain. And yet, when others have given everything to Him, He asked them to sacrifice their covenant son, to traverse the desert for 8 years, to give up their profitable fishing businesses, and so much more. What we see when we turn completely to the Lord is His tutoring hand upon us. Sheltering us from life difficulties is not the pruning we need. Celestial people are full of difficult experiences, not stories of a sheltered life. When we come to these moments of truth and trial, the real question is, will we shrink? Elder Maxwell was famous for saying that he would persevere what the Lord desired of him. He just didn't want to shrink under the pressure. The real truth of the matter is that the Lord is not placing trials and difficulties in your life. If He is not placing trials and difficulties in your life, you should probably find out why. We all need pruning and cutting if we are able to produce the fruits that are most desirable. When it comes to emotional exhaustion and the trials that often come with it, I hope that you will not look upon it as a punishment, but an opportunity to learn from the Lord your true potential. I hope that He may bless you to see yourselves as you truly are and as you truly can be under His guidance. Until next week, do your part, so that the Lord can do his.